Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Bill Welsh guides us through the New Testament book of Acts. Now to Pastor Bill.
Hi, this is Pastor Bill. Welcome back to our study through the book of Acts. You know, there are seasons in life and there are seasons in ministry. Times of peace and advance, growth and expansion, and times of great difficulty. Difficulty will never be far away from this group of first century Christians as they seek to obey Jesus Christ and take the gospel to the ends of the earth. In fact, that's where this chapter begins. In verses 1 to 5, we find an angry politician named Herod, who was the son of Herod the Great from the opening pages of the New Testament. The guy who could not stand the thought of a Jewish infant or toddler carrying the title King of the Jews, so he launched that terrible infanticide of baby boys in the town of Bethlehem. Well, this next generation Herod was not much better. He appears to take up the cause of silencing the Christian movement by arresting Christians, including James, the fisherman, who was the brother of John. Since it pleased a number of the Jews, he decided to continue the campaign of terror and arrested Peter during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was a week of extended worship connected with Passover. Now read carefully through verses 1 through 19 and watch how Herod overguards this one prisoner, Peter, yet he can't keep him in prison. This is one of the most drama-packed passages in the book of Acts. From the abuse of power to a miraculous jailbreak to the continuation of the preaching of the gospel. Verses 6 through 19 cover those details of Peter's amazing escape from prison, and it proves to me that we are not done until the Lord says we are done. Verse 19 describes the sad end for all those guards from Herod who were supposed to keep Peter bound until after the Passover, when Herod would make an example of him as well, certainly planning the same kind of death for Peter that he had dealt out to James. And then in verses 20 to 23, you could say that God had determined that Herod's days were over. This angry and hard-hearted man had crossed one too many lines of warning. So when he allowed himself to be worshipped and declared a god, verse 23 tells us, immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. Ew, yuck! Scholars have disagreed on what exactly happened to this Herod. What kind of worms were those? But Josephus, who was a Jewish historian from that time, said that early in the morning as the sun was rising, Herod, dressed in royal robes covered with a silver garment, came out before a multitude and sat down on his throne. As the morning sun reflected off that polished silver, the king literally glowed. And as he began to speak, the crowd of admirers started shouting out that he was a god and not a man. And then Josephus wrote, and I quote, "A severe pain also arose in his belly and began in a most violent manner. And when he had been quite worn out by the pain in his belly for 5 days, he departed this life." God was basically saying, game over, Herod. It was the end of the road for the most recent tormentor of the church. But look at those last two verses in this chapter. Verse 24 specifically says, "But the word of God increased and multiplied." And verse 25 beautifully sets us up for the very significant events in chapter 13. A new team of Jesus' servants is coming together in a church that many believe is a model for ministry in our own day. But that's the next chapter, so let's wrap up this one. The main message in chapter 12 is that you cannot stop the work of the Lord through hardship or even through martyrdom. Herod kills a key leader, James, the brother of the gospel writer, John, but the word of God spreads. Herod locks up the most visible of the original apostles, Peter, but the people of God press on in prayer and boldness, opposing the rule and ignoring the threats of this crazy, jealous King Herod. But verse 24 is the key. Through the prayers of God's people, through the preaching of the apostles, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and in spite of hardship, death, abuse, and persecution, it says, "But the word of God increased and it spread." Don't let anything hinder you from pressing forward in your walk with Jesus. Don't be derailed by threats. Let God use you to spread His word. As you read chapter 12, notice the connection between the congregation in Jerusalem and the congregation in Antioch. They're working together, sharing resources and even shuttling players back and forth. Peter, Barnabas, Saul, John, and John Mark, who suddenly becomes more visible as James makes his departure. The team is growing again. Believers are becoming laborers. Can I say that again? Take note of this. Believers are becoming laborers. All of us are saved by Jesus to serve Jesus. So find the place you can contribute in your city, your town, in your fellowship, and lay your life down as a servant of Jesus Christ. Join the team, and may the Word of God increase and multiply in your city or village as you partner with the team of believers there for the sake of God's glory. God bless you.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Bill Welsh is the Senior Pastor of Refuge in Huntington Beach, California. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.